Just a little bit about myself. My name is Ash. I'm married to one wife. So it's a good start in terms of that. And we've got one son. We live in one house with one dog. And we serve one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's her. She's amazing. She's beautiful. And yeah, miss them dearly in terms of it. But we were just praying last night for Valley Church. And I'm just going to give two words that just came up so evidently when we're just praying for you guys. And the one is that for the congregation of Valley Church and for those that are watching even right now, is it's time to slay some giants. It's time to slay some giants. Because the giants that David faced, Goliath, he faced it in a valley. It's time to slay some giants. And we believe in that for Valley Church, that every single individual, you're going to be somebody that's going to know how to slay and pray. Because Jesus knows how to always make a way. And we're believing for that. And then my wife just sends this for the leaders, even those that are watching right now from Lancaster and North Preston. It's just in terms of leadership for you guys and for the leaders of the church. She said you're moving from playing chess to unlocking. So you've been in a strategic season of moving things strategically. And she's saying, now's the time to unlock. And she just sees the leaders having keys of the kingdom, having eyes like Samuel to call out David's. Ooh. To unlock some things. To unlock some things over the city. To unlock some things for God's glory. To break some chains. To break some addictions. To break some afflictions. To bring healing, restoration, for the anointing to flow, for you to grow, because this place is too small when God begins to move. And we believe in that for Valley Church, that you're going to walk in victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we still got to get into the preaching. Kind of felt like that already. By the way, I'm not a teacher, I'm a preacher. Teachers tell it, preachers yell it. My wife will say that I yell the hell out of people. She's not here to correct me. But I'm mentioning her. But let's pray and we're going to get into God's word today. So Lord, we just come in your name, Jesus. I just ask, as I decrease, will you increase? Holy Spirit, take charge over my tongue to speak to your incredible people and every single individual watching online. Thank you, Lord, that Holy Spirit, there's no distance in what you're going to do. That even those that are in Lancaster and North Preston and even in the room, you're going to touch hearts, you're going to touch souls and situations. Lord, change and rearrange anything you want to change to bring breakthrough as we want to go deeper. There's an expectation of going deeper this morning to expect more. Experience more and encounter more. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So the title of the message for all the note takers is Going Deeper. Going Deeper. And I love note takers. I love Bible bringers. Maybe you'll have extra space in heaven. I don't know. Wait until you get there. And we're going to look at a portion of scripture. And I just want to set up the context of the portion of scripture. It's Jesus in the town of Tyre. And just the context of it and just setting it up is the Pharisees and the scribes came to come and speak to Jesus. And if you know anything about the religious, they're always looking of what is wrong. And they're always pointing out with the law and never giving any form of grace. And the Pharisees and the scribes were coming to Jesus and they were pointing out to Jesus in terms of that what matters most is what you put in. What matters most is how you look on the outside. And I know personally, you can come to church all dressed up, but inside, really, you all messed up. And then Jesus turns the table around and he even quotes even Isaiah 29 verse 13 and he says, "You worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me." And he says, what defiles a person or what makes a person pure is not what you put on. It's not what you put in. It's what actually comes out from the heart. Because from the heart flows rivers of living water. From the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's the context. We're going to look at this portion of scripture and just in the time that we have. So we're going to go verse by verse. Is that okay? Verse by verse, breaking it up from Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 to 28. Matthew
chapter 15, verse 21 to 28. And this is the first verse. I just like this first verse. It says, and Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now, if you know anything about the maps and Israel at that time, Jesus is walking on the beach with the disciples. It's like, Jesus, what do you like to do for fun? Take long walks on the beach with the disciples, Peter and James and John, nicknames PJJ. Following Jesus, being the way. Hey. It's just awesome, you know? But I'm just setting up some context. So they are on the coastline of Israel, busy walking. And then verse 22, this is when the story gets quite interesting. And this story is very, very close to my heart. It says this, and says, and behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me. O Lord, son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Understand this, that Jesus is walking on the coastline of Israel with his disciples. This lady is coming and literally interrupting a journey. She's interrupting a journey. She's a Canaanite woman. She's traveled over 200 kilometers, which is roughly estimation, close to 100 miles. And she's traveled from such a far distance to get to Jesus. She's walked through dangerous cities, dangerous places, and she's coming and saying, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Lord, show some compassion. Son of David, bless you. Son of David. She's recognizing his authority of royalty. She's recognizing his position. She's saying, you are coming from that lineage. And she's saying to him, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. I do not know the context of how severe that oppression is. I don't know if it's take two painkillers, go to bed, maybe she'll be a bit okay the next morning. I don't know. But I do know this. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8b tells me this. For Christ came for this reason and this reason only, to destroy the works of the devil. So every work of darkness is destroyed in the name of Jesus. I understand that Luke 10 verse 18 tells me that when the battle was being formed, and Jesus actually says this, he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. So that means when there was a boxing match in heaven to take the enemy out, before the bell could ring, the fight was over. So you know what? Sometimes we put the enemy on a pedestal. Sometimes we glorify darkness so much, we forget what the light can do. Because when light shines, darkness must flee. And Jesus came as the light and exposed every dark thing. And the darkness never overcomes the light, but light always overcomes the darkness. We have people come Sunday after Sunday, demonically oppressed and possessed, and we know the authority in the name of Jesus. Generational curses, generational bondage that's maybe been for 10, 3 generations, even we trace it even that far back. But in a moment in God's presence, going deeper and seeking his face, in a moment those things get broken. Man, I'll share this quickly. We had somebody recently had 5 different voices speak to him. He was seeing a psychiatrist and a psychologist. They let him out one weekend. He said he's gonna go find a church. He came to our church. During praise and worship, the presence of God hit him so hard, boom, because he was saying, I'm going deeper. I've tried everything. I've tried what the psychiatrist, psychologist, I've tried the medication to even just help with my meditation, but it didn't even help. I'm still hearing these voices. But a moment in God's presence, boom, he said he just felt peace that surpasses human understanding, because that's what my Jesus does. He's the Prince of Peace, and he stepped in, and what was in pieces became in the alignment and the assignment of heaven, and he received peace. He went back to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist says, this makes no sense. I have to take you off all the medication. He says, go back to the psychologist. Yeah, give God praise. That's only what God can do when we go deeper, when we pursue what he can do. They said, go back to the psychologist. The psychologist says, this makes no sense. No sense at all. Come back next week. Let's see how legit this is. Went back next week. Psychologist said, this does not happen at all.
you need to consistently be seeing somebody. I said, you've been healed miraculously. That's what our God can do. Go deeper. He can still heal. He can still restore. He can still revive. He can still do a great and mighty work. Okay, now the story takes a turn because this is when going deeper matters. Verse 23. This is Jesus' response. But he did not answer her a word. Oh, it gets more interesting. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. And she's crying out after the Lord Jesus. And sometimes that's what happens in your prayer life. You are praying, you are praying, you are praying. And as you're praying, it seems like heaven is silent and the enemy is running violent. Sometimes you're going to face some spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 even tells us, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers and principalities and cosmic aspects over the air and over the atmosphere. But I want to encourage you, go deeper. Yeah. Go deeper. When heaven is silent, go deeper. Yeah. Go deeper. When you're facing opposition and when you're facing a bit of resistance, guess what? Have some persistence. Pursue God even more. This is where I love Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10's got this phenomenal story. Daniel's praying to the Lord. He's praying and he's seeking God's face. And then he even goes into times of prayer and fasting. And he's seeking the Lord's face and he's pursuing God. And he's saying, Lord, I need an answer. I need an answer. And then Angel Gabriel, who's known as the messenger angel, pitches up. Imagine an angel pitches up while you pray. Hallelujah. 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 That's why I'm not part of the worship team. Anyway. And Angel Gabriel pitches up and he says something that's profound to Daniel. He says, the Lord heard you and answered you on the very first day. I'm going, Now why did it take 21 days? Then he continues and he says, the prince of Persia, being the enemy, came and withstood me. But Daniel, and this is the ASV version, it's the Ashley Standard version of the Bible. Don't quote this. This is just me making it alive for me. And he says this, basically, is that because you were persistent, Daniel, God let loose Angel Michael. Ooh. If you know anything about angels, Angel Michael is a bad dude. If it was WWE, it would be John Cena. You can see me with a rock mixed together, put in one, boom. Yes. That's why I said, don't quote me on this. Says God let loose Angel Michael on the 21st day. Ooh. Sometimes you gotta go deeper in prayer. Sometimes you gotta just pray and fast. Jesus even said, only some things get broken off through prayer and fasting. You gotta go deeper, Valley Church. And here's the thing, when you go deeper, God will take you higher. When you go deeper, God will take you higher. Like John 3 verse 30 says, I must decrease for him to increase. There's a shift. The kingdom of God operates in a different manner. For you to elevate, oh, you gotta go lower. Because God opposes the proud, but he draws near to the humble. When it comes in that aspect, praying and fasting, seek him, seek him. Okay, verse 24, let's move on. Now Jesus finally speaks. Now it gets interesting. Understand, Jesus never sinned. And I'll give a bit of context on this. It says this, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Ooh, Jesus. Understand this. This was before the cross. This was before the cross. And we've got to understand some aspects before the cross. Before the cross was only linked to the Jewish nation. After the cross, we can, thanks be to God, Romans 1:16 stands, so that we can be unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation, first to the Jews and to the Gentiles. I know I'm a Gentile. Hey, so thank you, Jesus. And so it's for everybody. The gospel is for everybody, and we need to understand the context there of it. Understand the context. And here's the powerful aspect around that. Oh, this lady still pursued. This lady still pursued. I'm setting up the next verse, verse 25. She still pursued Jesus. Because some of us right there will go, you know what, God, it's not your will. Peace out. No, no, no. His will is according to his word. His will is according to his word. And she had some sort of an understanding that this Messiah is going to come. He's going to heal all the broken. He's going to set the captives free. She understood something. And she just said, I'm not going to let anything stop me. I am going to go deeper. Verse 25. Oh, now it gets more interesting. But she came and knelt and worshipped before him, saying, Lord, help me. But she came and knelt and worshipped before him, saying, Lord, help me. Is your praise and worship conditional or positional? Because sometimes we only want to praise Jesus when things are good. We only want to worship when things are great. But can you praise and worship when you are not getting what you need to get to go where you need to go? Can you praise and worship in the midst of you just having a tension and an uncertainty? Can you praise and worship in the midst of that all, in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of you just saying, Lord, everything is out of control, but I'm going to worship you because you are sovereign. You are still good. You are still mighty. You are still seated on the right hand of the Father, Jesus. Nobody voted you in, so nobody can vote you out. And you are still a God that is good, that is great, and greatly to be praised. Let me push you a little bit. We might have a praise break. Ezekiel 28 says, speaks about the way Lucifer, before he became known as Satan, was formed. And he was made beautiful. He headed up the army and the legion of worship in heaven. And he headed it up. And he was made beautiful. He had string instruments built in within him. Wind instruments. Percussion. He was a moving marching band all by himself. And he could sing. All together. Here's the reality. When God made us, he gave us vocal cords. String instruments. Lungs, wind instruments, hands and feet, some percussion. Ooh. Some of us can't sing that well like myself, so I'm glad the sound guy put up the volume. Here's the reality. The devil got fired, we got hired. Does anybody want to tick the devil off for a moment? Get up on your feet right now. Let's do 10 seconds of praise. Put your notebooks and pens aside. Lancaster, North Preston, we're going to do something powerful right now. 10 seconds. Because this is what's going to happen. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says, put on a garment of praise to break off a spirit of heaviness. When we praise, we raise. It's not just a cute phrase, by the way. Because you start getting heaven's perspective. And when you get heaven's perspective, suddenly you get to find the objective. When you magnify the Lord, you minimize the problem, you magnify his presence. And I love it, Pastor Michelle already mentioned this. That's why I'm catching you guys up at Lancaster and North Preston. She mentioned this, that God inhabits the praises of his people. That's the only thing he inhabits. So who wants him to habitate this atmosphere right now? Woohoo! Woohoo! Lancaster, North Preston, come on, lean in, get ready. Woo! I can feel it. Woo! I can feel it in the room. Can you feel it in the room? Something's about to break out. So all I'm going to do is I'm going to count down, 3, 2, 1, and then we're going to praise Jesus for 30 seconds. Is that cool? Let me just make sure my shoelaces are fine. My shoelaces are getting loose. I'm going to get wild. By the way, I was going hard for darkness. I'm going to go hard for light right now and for Jesus. So here we go. 3, 2, 1. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, we give you glory, God. Yeah, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Come on, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout out.
Can you feel it in the room? Let's go deeper. Can we go? There's a little bit more of a wave right now. Because when you praise, you can break down walls of Jericho. Can we praise over our city right now? Lancaster. Ooh, Lancaster seems a bit wild right now. That's why I feel. When I count down again, praise to believe whatever you are facing out in the city, it's going to come down. Because the walls of Jericho, here's the reality. Praise preceded the breakthrough. They praised and then they entered the promise. Sometimes you don't realize praise is a weapon. You sang it this morning. My praise is a weapon. Because sometimes you've been fighting so long in the physical. When you praise, you allow God to fight for you in the spiritual. You're making me too excited. Are we ready? Yeah. Praise over the city. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus. Jesus. We praise over the city. Every wall come down. Every high thing must come down. As we praise by faith, every mountain will be moved. Every giant will be conquered. Every door must be opened. Because you open up the door, Jesus. You're the one that opens up doors. No man can close. In 2024, there's an open door for Valley Church. There's an open door for Valley Church. Can you feel that in the room now? Lord, right now, I just feel the prophetic. Lord, I prophesy over businesses, open doors. Over families, open doors. Over the city, open doors. Favor like nobody's business. Because you said in your word in Psalm 5 verse 12, the righteous children of God have love and favor as their shield. Love that casts out all fear. You're not made with the spirit of fear. You gave God a bold praise. You actually broke off fear even right now in the room. You're not made with the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Woo! And I speak for favor. Favor. Where everybody said it cannot be done. No, no, no. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Come on, give him one more shout of praise. Yeah. Okay, take a seat for 5 minutes. I gotta still finish the scriptures. You guys are awesome. Man, can you just sense that? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, if you just want to enjoy his presence, enjoy him right now. Enjoy him right now. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to me. I feel for some people, you're still just caught up in the things of the Spirit. Even at Lancaster, North Preston, if God's still speaking to you, write down those notes. Write down what God is speaking to you. Take it down. Some of you, God's giving you creative ideas. Verse 26, and he answered, it is not right. This is Jesus speaking to the Canaanite woman. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. I've realized there's two different kinds of people. There's dog people and cat people. If you're a cat person, I pray a lot for you. Because cats, you feed them, you love on them, you take care of them, you call them, meow. They think they God. A dog, clothe them, feed them, you even kick them. By accident. If you do it on purpose, you need prayer. Anyway, they still come. There's an element of loyalty and faithfulness. You see, there's an aspect of, that's why we don't say, cat is man's best friend. Never. Never. And those that are trying to say that, no. They said a dog is man's best friend. Because there's an element of loyalty which is linked to faithfulness. If you want to go deeper, faithfulness and fruitfulness go hand in hand. Whew. Some people want to be fruitful, but are you faithful? Are you faithful with a little? For God to give you much. Are you faithful in the moment with what God can give you? Are you faithful with just a little bit of bread? Little bit of bread, children's bread. That analogy that it's speaking about is when a child is busy eating and the crumbs fall off the table. Are you faithful with a little? And some of us want the much. You got to be faithful with a little. Man, let me share this with you quickly. I was faithful with one service. One service at Liberty Church. Right now, on Easter Sunday, we're getting ready to go to three services. Three services. Over two services, we're having chaos problems. Over 1,000 people go through our doors at our West Campus. Over 1,000 people go through our North Campus. I look after our West Campus. We both go into three experiences, but we were faithful with a little. When the doors just opened after COVID, we had one service, 20 people. The restrictions were that we could have maximum was 50 people. 20 people. Here's the sad part. Half of them were volunteers. But we were faithful with a little. Lord, you love the one. Not anyone. You love the one. Because you leave the 99 for the one. And we had to have a heart for the one. Because our God's got a heart for the one. For the lonely, the lost, and the least. And we had to go deeper. Not with our hands and our outreach. No, we had to dig deeper in our hearts. And now we even got a saying, as our church grows, as we get bigger, our hearts needs to get bigger. We need to love our cities more. We need to love our community more. I love this, the way this lady responds. Verse 27 and 28. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. By the way, Jesus is that bread of life. He is the crumb that came from heaven to earth. If he's a crumb, what happens when a loaf pitches up? Verse 28. This is so powerful. And he answered her, woman, great is your faith. Be it done as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Instantly. Everybody just stand in this place. You're getting your squats in today. Also at Lancaster, North Preston. It was playing, thanks, bro. Make me sound like T.D. Jakes. But little T.D. Jakes, I'm a little guy. So it's not get ready, get ready, get ready. It's get ready, get ready, get ready. No, I'm joking. The story is close to me for this reason. It's because what stands before you is someone that was oppressed by the devil. I was addicted to drugs for over 6 years. Been stabbed 6 times. Hanged around with gangsters. I should be dead or in prison. I don't know how your country let me in, by the way. Just putting that out there. But I should be dead or in prison. And I had inward rejection because I didn't have pure love and affection. That even though I had a house to go to, I didn't go home. When I was high on drugs, messed up. Even though I was all dressed up, I used to sleep outside a church. And I think there's a picture even of where I used to sleep outside quite regularly. I used to sleep outside a church quite regularly for over 6 years. But somebody decided to go deeper in prayer and go deeper in their heart and extend grace and said, come on in, there's a church for you. There's place for you. There's an empty seat for you. We'll love on you. That same church, I went to the youth camp. On the Friday night, I was high, not on the most high. Because I was so messed up. High on drugs. And I watched all the religious people. And that's what I was thinking. It's all this, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Because you know people like to use fear and not use faith and love to let you come to know Jesus. They say, turn or burn. I'm like, I need to turn. I don't want to burn. Burning is nice for a braai or a barbecue. I'm like, that's a good burn. And I gave my heart to Christ 6 times out of religious duty. That Friday night, I was mocking all the Christians. But on Saturday morning, God hit me so hard during worship. God hit me so hard. And the guest speaker, Graham Ho, he got up. He says, I'd done this last night, but I'm doing it again. Does anybody want to receive Jesus? And you know what I did? I crawled down to the front. Like the lady with the issue of blood. But my issue was an addiction of 6 years. An addiction of 6 years got broken instantly. Rejection got broken off instantly. Suicidal thoughts broken off instantly. I got real with Jesus. He got real with me. I stepped out of religion and I stepped into a relationship. Here's the wild part. Two wild parts. On that Saturday morning, my mom said, I'm just going to pray one more time. She got down on her knees on Saturday morning. The same time she's on her knees, I was being hit hard with the love of Jesus during worship. She said, one more time. Now here's the wild kicker, and this is how God has the last say. The very church I used to sleep outside of, I'm the pastor of today. Woo. God knows how to work all things for good.